There had never been a U.S. plan to march on Baghdad, nor an advocate in Washington for doing so. The Bush administration also shied away from the enormous task of occupying Iraq. How much would that cost? What Iraqi would we put in charge? What would we do with the Shia majority in Iraq? The Iraqis had now suffered hundreds of thousands of dead because of Saddam's lunacy. The Bush White House was convinced, wrongly, that Saddam would not last. It can and has been well argued as to whether the United States should have continued the war for a day or a week to destroy the Republican Guard, as had been originally intended. To me, it was obvious then and now that another 72 hours of combat was needed. Some even believe, wrongly, that we should have gone on to Baghdad. I can see how people can make that argument, although continuing into Baghdad would have shattered the coalition and left the U.S. holding the very messy bag of an occupied Iraq. What I cannot understand is how anyone can defend the Bush administration's decision to stand by and let the Republican Guard mass murder the Shia and the Kurds. If we had bombed the Republican Guard and defended the Shia and the Kurds, the Bush calculus that Saddam Hussein would fall without our occupying Baghdad might have proven to be true. Since we did not, a moral outrage was committed, and Saddam Hussein stayed in power. And the U.S. had to keep forces in Saudi Arabia to defend against a renewed strike on Kuwait by a reconstituted Republican Guard. Saudi dissidents who had protested the original U.S. presence now complained again that the American forces in the kingdom were a sacrilege. The Saudi government moved against the dissidents, threatening them with legal and economic punishments. Bin Laden was no exception to the government's crackdown. In Bin Laden's case, the government also threatened his extended family and its vast economic holdings. Invited to Khartoum by Hassan al-Turabi, the fundamentalist fanatic who had taken charge in Sudan, a bitter Bin Laden decamped across the Red Sea. Soon thereafter, he summoned his Afghan Arabs to join him. Saddam was still in power. UN weapons inspections in Iraq were being more restricted. U.S. forces were settling in throughout the Gulf. Osama bin Laden had broken with the Saudi regime and moved in with a radical state sponsor of terrorism. It was 1991. As the year ended, the Soviet Union ceased to exist as a legal entity. The Cold War had served to suppress some traditional ethnic and religious rivalries beneath the heavy glacier of the communist totalitarian state, particularly in the Balkans and Central Asia, where there were many Muslims. When the Cold War ended, the United States could move massively into the Persian Gulf during a crisis there. Ethnic and religious tensions could erupt in the Balkans and Central Asia, and religious fervor could no longer be directed at the communists. Those feeling disadvantaged by the global system and wishing to blame their lot on foreign forces had only one world-dominant nation to blame for their troubles, one major target to motivate their followers: America.